We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
1, 2, 3. Yep. As it was plain to see. Yep. I go by the name of Jermaine Dupri. Dope man fresh in the place to be. And
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 5 o'clock hour. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe. Chili Willie with us as well. Man, he's dancing to the beat. You would not know that he's on his way to the hospital in an hour's time or thereabouts. Chili Willie playing hurt today, but we appreciate that. We appreciate everybody tuning in as Hawk and Crowder obviously is still on vacation. Brian and I will be with you the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Friday to finish out this week, and we appreciate everybody tuning in. By the way, this is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour, the 5 o'clock hour, and so I'm just disappointed, Brian, because Crowder didn't leave any of the Funky Buddha beer here in the studio. He took it all with him on the RV, so he usually has kind of a stash somewhere.
Okay.
And I checked, and I'm like, hey, I realize you're out of town and all this other stuff, but Crowder, you couldn't have, like, you know, the guest host filling in, couldn't have, like, kept it around. Although I've gotten word, some of my sources tell me, and again, I don't necessarily have a lot of sources when it comes to breaking, like, Russell Westbrook trades and all this other stuff, unlike other people that work for Intercom, apparently. But I do have sources around the buildings here. And there are some rumors that Crowder may have left us some Funky Buddha, but that some other people took it before we could get our hands on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's that would be typical Crowder being a Gator. You know, they're selfish and stuff like that and not leaving everything, but it's no shocker there. I'm not a huge beer guy, so I'm not missing anything.
But that's why I thought it'd be great for me, because you'd be like, oh, yeah, you can just have
mine. Oh, you could have all of it, yeah. You could have my half if you wanted that.
I'd be in good shape. Funky Buddha, absolutely delicious. And, yes, we appreciate you joining us here for the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. And Crowder, we'll get to the bottom of that whenever he gets back in town. Okay, we got a bunch of people who have chimed in throughout the day. And one of the main topics of conversation, of course, has been Russell Westbrook and all the various reports and rumors about permutations of trades that could take place if the Heat were to acquire him from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Barry Jackson, we told you about this earlier, he had written in a recent article for the Herald that there were some among the Heat, and some word that he had gotten, that some within the Heat organization are wary of the idea of giving up a Bam Adebayo or a Tyler Hero in a potential trade. And so I think that all makes sense. Obviously, you'd like to keep as many assets as possible. But at the same time, Brian, like, if I had to do this ideally, the Heat would keep all their young assets and they just ship, you know, all the undesirable contracts to Oklahoma City.
That'd be great.
Goran Dragic, to me, isn't an undesirable contract. I still like him as a player. But the bottom line is, it's an expiring contract. He would have to go in this sense. And you wouldn't need Goran Dragic if you have Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
So, okay. So put him aside. But James Johnson, Deion Waiters, anybody else that at this point you're like, oh, okay. Like, I say, send them all to Oklahoma City and then let them figure it out. And then the Heat get back Russell Westbrook. And then they've got their young pieces around them. I realize that may not be completely realistic. But the point I made earlier, and I'll let you give your take on this as well, Brian, is that I am not going to allow one of these young pieces for the Miami Heat to prevent me from doing the trade. If the Thunder demand that, say, a Bam or a Tyler or a Justice Winslow be involved, I'm going to say, you know what? If it comes down to it, I'm okay with that. I'd rather get the established superstar than hold out hope that one of those players becomes what Russell Westbrook already has defined that he is in the NBA.
Yeah, and especially with the really young guys that still are light years away from reaching their potential. You're saying, okay, I want to keep this young piece for what? 4 years later, then he's good? 3 years later, isn't good? How about I get the guy that's established, been an MVP, been an All-Star, been an All-NBA guy for the next 2 to 3 years, and then if something happens, I can figure out a way to get him off my books. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a society that we want gratification now. We want to win now. So if we can figure out how to send some expiring contracts, some young pieces over, and get an all-NBA guy, a triple-double machine on the team right now to team up with Jimmy Butler, especially next year when it's probably going to be weaker because KD's not playing. Let's do it. Just give me the pen. I'll sign whatever you need right now to get him over there. I cannot let one of these young guys hold up bringing over such a talented guy. No matter if you don't like him because you think he's selfish, you think he's a locker room, not a locker room guy, whatever you want to say, facts are Russell Westbrook is a talented player and talented, more talented than any guy that you would trade right now. It's just what it is.
It is, and it's a star-driven league. And once you have established yourself as a star, you know, that carries a ton of weight. And yes, you get paid a lot of money too. So I'm not saying that the $170 million contract over 4 years is attractive, but that's the cost of doing business these days,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's the only part of this. And you hit it on the head earlier, Brian, but like for anybody who's concerned about the money and all that stuff, like that's really not our place to be concerned about it.
Yeah, at
like,
all.
Like the Heat and everybody in the front office, they're the ones that have to deal with it. Like from a fan's perspective, it's like, yeah, get all the stars you can. Strike while the iron's hot. See what you can do. You're suddenly relevant. You're already relevant because Jimmy Butler has joined the fold, but why not go even further in and make a run? Kevin Durant is going to be injured the upcoming season, and yes, I'm not going to proclaim that the Heat with Russell Westbrook are going to be better than the Bucks or better than the 76ers, but guess what? I like the fact that the Heat are in the conversation, and I like the fact that the Heat have the possibility to at least get into a series where you feel like they have a legitimate shot. They're
exactly.
going to be competitive. Not like, you know, they made the playoffs a couple of years ago, and it's like, oh, okay, it's going to be a gentleman's sweep against the 76ers. D-Wade will have one throwback performance, and you can feel good about winning one game after and then losing the other four. Like, you feel like you go into a series, even if it's against the Bucks or the Sixers at full strength, that you have a legitimate shot because you got a pair of all-stars, and who knows what else develops around them over the course of the upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I want to go to the game with those two guys on the court. I want to go to the game. Oh, yeah. Were Heat fans really that excited to say, like, next year we're going to be on a playoff run before they got Jimmy Butler and potentially adding a Russell Westbrook? Like, really? Like, I understand you got some nice young pieces, but none of those young pieces have ever stepped up to say, I can carry this team. We saw that this past year when D-Wade was the one carrying this team down the stretch, hitting all the late shots. Like, you take him away? And you thought they were going to make a deep run in the playoffs or going to make the playoffs next year? No way. You bring in a guy like Jimmy Butler, all defensive team, all NBA. Now you potential to bring another all NBA quality player, and now people are like, whoa, we can't get rid of this young dude. You mean this young dude that hasn't even like sniffed his potential yet and could be another 2 years? Or you could bring in a guy that's got potential. He's right there, and he's going to bring you a triple-double most likely, teaming up with Jimmy Butler? I think this is a pretty easy answer, no?
It should be. Now, the only caveat to all of this, because we had somebody text us earlier, like, well, if it is so straightforward, how come they haven't gotten this done? Just to provide background, you know, Brian Windhorst was on ESPN this morning, and among the things he said, that the Thunder have made it clear to everybody who's interested in making a trade for Russell Westbrook that they want to get out of the luxury tax in this deal. And so that means that they need to send out more money than they take back in their mind. The Heat being hard capped, they can't spend any more money. And so he's saying that it's going to require the Thunder to either reduce their expectations or the Heat need to get a third team involved to make sure that they can get a contract scenario for all sides that will appease everyone. And so the Thunder then still could hypothetically ease some of the burden on their salary situation. And the Heat, like, it's not about them easing anything. It's like they have the hard cap. They call it the hard cap for a reason. They cannot go over the $138.9 million. So that is a very sensitive thing. Windhorst says that he does think a deal can get done, but it may take some time to see if one of the teams will blink. So that's part of this as well, is that, you know, the Whiteside deal that was reported, you know, a week ago Monday, and we heard about it, like, oh my gosh, they traded Whiteside. The unthinkable has occurred. That opened my eyes to any possibility
yes.
in the NBA. Pat Riley being able to do that, I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, I don't care what you say to me. The impossible can be done. So, but with that absolutely turned into and kind of transformed into was a four-way deal. Originally, we thought it was just, hey, the Trailblazers and the Heat were doing a deal. We're going to get Mo Harkless. We're going to get Myers Leonard. That turned into a four-team deal with the Clippers and, of course, the Sixers. And so the bottom line is it sounds like that's going to have to happen if the Thunder and the Heat are going to do this. And Russell Westbrook gets his way to come to Miami. The Heat get their man and then have to send off whoever they do. And then the mystery third team or maybe even a fourth team have to be part of this if they're going to make this happen. So who that's going to be, who knows?
And you see some of the speculation out there with the third team and fourth team and who's coming here and who's coming there. And I'm like, I saw one. I was like, if Pat Riley can pull that off that I just saw on my Twitter screen, you don't even make a statue of him. Like, you need to make something in the water, like a fountain or something crazy. Like, because I saw those names and I'm like, is that even possible to pull off? There's no way that's going to happen. Now, I'm not going to say it because it sounds crazy, but there have been some names thrown around that I was like, nah.
Well, yeah, one of the variations of rumors I saw out there had John Wall landing in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And then Beal and Westbrook landing here. And that sounds terrific. But at the same time, it's like, well, John Wall's making the same amount of money as Russell Westbrook, and he's younger, but he's an injured version, essentially, of Russell Westbrook. He's, like, not as good and also injured and making the same amount of money. So why on earth would the Thunder basically take the same contract back?
I saw one similar to that, but they added a fourth team in the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they had J.R. Smith's expiring contract going to Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's intriguing.
And Wall going to the Cavs.
Cleveland. Okay.
Then, like, some picks going somewhere, like, to offset everything. But I saw that. I was like, man, that ain't going to happen.
As if the Cavs need any more point guards.
Exactly.
Right? But still.
What I was thinking. I was like, well, didn't they just draft a dude and they have sex in there as well? He's like, all right, whatever. I don't know basketball like that, so I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, but I'm sure that in that scenario, they could look at that and say, hey, Wall's got he's going to be out for a year. We're going to develop him behind the scenes, see what happens. And again, the Whiteside deal opened my eyes to endless possibilities.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. So John Wall can come back, the Cavs, and be like, all right, we got a piece here. We're going to trade him a little later because we like Colin Sexton and everybody else. But if you're the Heat, that's something else to keep in mind. For everybody who's anxious for this thing to happen, trust me, we're just as anxious as the rest of you. Love to have it happen over the next couple of days while we're on the air. We can react to it live and all of that. But there are some elements that need to be put in place to make that a reality. With that being said, there's no bigger authority on the Miami Heat than Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He is currently out in Las Vegas covering Heat Summer League. And really, when you say you're covering the Summer League, it's also you're covering everything going on in the league.
Yep.
And everything going on in free agency as that has lingered into the Summer League. So we're going to check in with Ira next as he has all sorts of insight. Can't wait to get his input on what he's hearing, the latest from Las Vegas. Stay tuned. That's coming up next here on 560 WQAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. The ladies. H-Town boys. Kicking it with my boy Luke. For the 9-3.
Aren't we supposed to be playing this like on Friday? Not on a Wednesday night?
I don't know. I guess Chilly Willie is just trying to set the tone here. I don't know how Ira Winderman's going to feel about this.
You guys start me going through my phone and texting people now.
Hey, we are back here on the Hawk and Crowder Show. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe filling in on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's doing well. We have been talking all about Russell Westbrook and what could potentially be for this Miami Heat team. For more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. That is where Ira Winderman, who covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, is joining us as he's out in Vegas covering the Summer League. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Ira, good afternoon to you. How's everything going today?
Well, Greg and Brian, I'd say everything is going fine until I wake up this morning, I go online, I see a Google alert that says NBA insider said Heat on verge of Russell Westbrook trade. So I figured I better click on that. That's my job to check on these things. And I got to hand it to QAM because the story on Bleacher Report said NBA insider Ira Winderman told WQAM's Kevin Rogers tonight that he believes the Heat have a strong chance to get Russell Westbrook. So I basically clicked on to read something I said in a different way 12 hours earlier. I love the internet.
Oh, my goodness. So last night you're on with K-Rog, and you said that, and now it's become but the thing fodder is, for the everyone.
And the way it's tweeted out there, NBA Insider, I'm like, oh, Jerry West must have said this. Pat Riley must have said this. And so imagine the disappointment of Ira Winderman to realize Ira Winderman said it.
Well, yeah, don't sell yourself short, Ira.
We're going to need some Ira bombs, man. That's what we're going to have to do for you.
Yeah, there we go. By the way, Ira, we did spare you a little bit. I don't know. When Hawk and Crowder return next week, I'm sure they'll have your intro music like normal, but we're just going to do it this way today as we're the substitute teachers.
I appreciate it greatly because it kind of works with Hawk on there, but with anyone else, like, yeah, what the heck is this? So I owe you guys a biggie.
Okay, good. Well, we're all on the same page there. With that being said, I mean, I don't know if we can do better than what you said to K-Rodge last night, but what is the latest you're hearing on the Russell Westbrook front?
Well, there's two things. Let's face it, guys, when the Heat goes this far down the road with something that is tangible and possible, I honestly don't remember the last time it didn't happen. From Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning, Pat Riley and Shaquille O'Neal, Pat Riley and LeBron James. Now, you might say to me, wait a minute, what about Hayward and what about Durant? But those were long shot cases when the Heat didn't have the money and were competing against the Warriors for Durant and Gordon Hayward's college coach and Brad Stevens for Gordon Hayward. But in something like this, it seems to me the lesson I've learned in my 3 decades of covering the Heat, especially with Pat Riley over the last 25, is where there's smoke, there's usually fire with Pat. And every single person I spoke to in the gym yesterday at UNLV and I asked them what they thought, they all thought that, yeah, three things are lining up. The Heat want Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook wants out of the Thunder after the Paul George trade. And the feeling is that after Russell Westbrook stayed for 11 years, that the Thunder will do right by Russell Westbrook and send him where he wants to go. And Russell Westbrook wants to go to Miami. So there's really, sort of like with Jimmy Butler, there's a whole bunch of things really seems to be aligning themselves.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So we all hear the rumblings. I don't want this player to go. We could give him this player. We don't want to give this player. If it does happen, it's going to be a two-part question. Realistically, what do you think that he will have to send back? And do you think there's any guys on this team that are untradeable?
I don't think there are, to go the second part first, any untradeable players because this team is not dominant enough where there's one player, I guess other than Jimmy Butler, who is untradeable because he can't be dealt till December 15th. Not that he's going to be dealt, anyone from outsiders who's listening and says what I just said. So let's put that aside. So I think any other player, yeah. I think when you're in the Heat's position, you can't say, we're not going to do a blockbuster because of Justice Winslow or Bam Adebayo or Tyler Hero. I would prefer if they didn't, especially Adebayo and Hero, but I don't think he can draw a line. So I think it comes down to your first question is this. Who has the upper hand? In every trade, there's a party that has the upper hand. Is it the Thunder because they have a 6-time All-Star walking triple-double machine? Or is it the Heat because of Westbrook still being owed $170 million over the next 4 years as a 30-year-old player and as someone who you know is trying to force his way out? I think the Heat will not have to pay a dollar on the dollar. I think they can get some value. I think they could offload some contracts like Dragic and maybe Myers-Leonard to give cap relief to the Thunder, and I think it might only take one prospect. And I think if the Heat have to do it, I'll tell you guys who I would make it. I would make it Justice Winslow for this reason. Justice Winslow has shown he is the best Justice Winslow when he's on the ball, when he was playing point guard when Goran Dragic was out. Well, if you're going to have Jimmy Butler dominating the ball, and we all know the degree that Russell Westbrook dominates the ball, I don't think Justice Winslow would be the same player with the Heat if he stays, because he'd be playing off the ball. He wouldn't be his best Justice Winslow. So I think I would try to force or focus the trade, rather, around something like Dragic, Myers-Leonard, Justice Winslow, and then tweak it from there.
Ira Winderman, who covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Along those same lines, Ira, I know that early this past season, there were the reports about the Timberwolves potentially trading Jimmy Butler to the Heat. He ultimately goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. At the time, the sticking point was Josh Richardson. Right. I know we're not talking about him anymore since he's off to Philadelphia, but do you think the Heat have learned from that, where they weren't willing to part with Richardson and now they're more open-minded?
Yeah, again, I never look back at a previous deal and say how it can impact a future deal because teams change. The Heat didn't make the playoffs. They might be what you might call a little bit more desperate. So I'm trying to gauge a couple of things. They really like Bam Adebayo. I don't think that's phony building up his value. However, it is very curious that at this moment we talk, the Heat have yet to sign Tyler Hero. You cannot trade a signed draft choice for 30 days. Not that that 30 days would get in the way of anything long term, but it still is curious. So every day when I go to the gym for Summer League, I wonder this. Are the Heat developing Tyler Hero because they want a game-ready player in October? Or are they sort of showcasing him that, hey, we got this guy with number 13. He's immediately trade available. What do all you other guys think as we showcase him in our game? So I find that a little bit curious, but I would be glad to move forward with sort of a dichotomy in my roster. Let's have the older players of Westbrook and Butler living in the moment. But how nice would it also be to have coming up through the pipeline, so to speak, Bam Adebayo, Derrick Jones Jr., and Tyler Hero as the next rendition of the team? So I think you could possibly have it both ways.
Now, speaking of the Summer League, you brought up Tyler Hero, and it's so funny how the fans' perspective has changed in a couple weeks from a couple Summer League games. What has Tyler Hero done out there that has changed everybody's mind and the coaches and the front office that I'd love to see from him right now playing?
It's that he's been more than a shooter. And this has been a problem in recent years at Kentucky because John Calipari and sort of at Duke also have done such a good job of recruiting that they don't need the ultimate dominant player. Remember the days when there were so many contenders in college basketball that every team would have its one superstar? And can that one player carry their team to an NCAA championship, whether it's Grant Hill or whether it's Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis? What's happening now at Kentucky, because they start four or five five-star guys, everyone is just asked to do their specialty. So Tyler Hero was asked to be a shooting specialist. So it wasn't until he comes to Summer League in the Heat that you can go, wow, that guy can handle. Wow, that guy can pass. Wow, that guy might have short arms, but he's really dogged on defense. So I think you're getting to see more of a complete player than honestly I saw in Kentucky. And that's why these NBA scouts start scouting these guys in middle school, in high school, and in AAU. Because it's in those forums that you get to see a little more of their overall game. I think a lot of what sold the Heat on Tyler Hero came before his lone season at Kentucky.
You're telling me it wasn't like his swag and the way he dressed is the reason why they wanted to bring in the Heat?
Well, I believe as Greg and the young kids say, I don't think his drip hurt either, but I don't think they drafted him on his draft night suit. And look, Pat, I'm probably closer in age to Pat than the kids these days, and I love what Pat said in his introduction, the first thing we're doing is burning his suit. So it lets you know what Pat thinks of his drip.
Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Maybe some fashion in there as well, depending on what the beat calls for. Ira, we obviously have been discussing at length the Russell Westbrook trade possibility.
Sure.
You wrote about this. It is a bit ironic that Adam Silver yesterday described the NBA player trade demands as disheartening as the Heat attempt to pull this off.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Heat do. The Heat have been great at you know, creating distressed properties somewhere else where all of a sudden a guy wants to get out of there. We saw this back with Shaq and Kobe, of course. Alonzo Mourning wanted to get away from the ownership. Remember the Goran Dragic situation, the get me out of here, and how they got Dragic in February 2015. It's almost like the sort of people like the Russian influencer on the internet trying to create bad situations so you can swoop in there. Pat Riley has done an excellent job at distressed property by waiting to see where there's trouble and then pouncing on the moment. What Adam Silver wants is stop complaining, guys. You're earning good money. You're getting treated well. Stop with these trade demands. But you know what, guys? We learned our lesson this year. Anthony Davis did force his way out. We learned our lesson last year. Kawhi Leonard did force his way out. So now that you know when a player starts threatening, get me out of here, that it's real, that's what Pat Riley does. He goes, oh, you have distressed property. It's like what I mentioned before. You can get someone for pennies on the dollar. Why wouldn't you? I don't see how Adam Silver can ever quiet players who don't want to be in such a situation. This league has become a point right now, I don't think you can root for teams anymore. I think you have to say, this guy's my favorite player, and I'm going to root for Kawhi in San Antonio, in Toronto, and with the Clippers. Because you know what? Teams don't stay the same anymore. The Warriors are probably the end of that, and even Kevin Durant left that team. I think what the Heat got with the big three for 4 years is about as long as any run is going to be for a team right now.
Well, yeah, and you kind of answered what my follow-up question was going to be there about whether the league can do anything about this. But to follow up on that, Ira, to your point, I do find this element fascinating. The people who don't like the idea of a Russell Westbrook trade for the Miami Heat say, hey, he's entering his 30s, it's a huge contract, and by the end of his deal and Jimmy Butler's deal, those guys both could be worn down. But the point you just made, I think, is the one that prevails here, is that even if that is the case, Pat Riley was able to trade Hassan Whiteside's expiring contract. Don't you think he'll be able to maneuver in 3 years' time if it does come to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact is that you could take Hassan Whiteside and you could say, there's no way you're losing that $28 million on the cap. So what did the Heat do? They split it among two players. They traded him for Maurice Harkless and for Myers Leonard. They then unloaded Maurice Harkless and the Clippers in their Jimmy Butler trade. And like I said, there's a chance they get rid of Myers Leonard also. So they effectively do make Hassan Whiteside $28 million disappear. Now there's talk of, wait, Kawhi can get back in free agency in 2 years? Took a 3-year deal, 2 years player option, and people are going, wait a minute, the Heat don't have room for a max free agent then. Don't worry about 2 years down the road. If you can move Hassan Whiteside, you can move Russell Westbrook, you can move Jimmy Butler. There's always a follow-up move you can make. I use the gif of Kevin Garnett when he won the championship of nothing's impossible. That's the lesson you're learning, especially with Pat Riley, is don't worry about what can happen 2 years down the road. Because like I tweeted yesterday, the Heat had no salary cap space and got a $32 million free agent this summer. If you can make that happen, you can make anything happen.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So let's talk about now. Let's say they do get Russell Westbrook. Where do you see this team next year in the East in the pecking order?
You see, the one thing you haven't gotten out of me to this point was whether Ira would like the trade.
I have
genuine doubts, guys, for this reason. Neither of those players, Jimmy Butler or Russell Westbrook, are three-point shooters in a three-point dominant league. So let's say you start the two of them with Bam Adebayo, who's not a shooter either. I think your floor spacing is really compromised. I don't think it works. I think Pat Riley's thought is, let me collect the stars and I'll make everything else work. And maybe he can. Maybe there are follow-up moves. But you know what, guys? Top of the conference, I'd say right now, Milwaukee. They did lose Brogdon, but they still got Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe and Lopez. And Philadelphia, that still has Tobias Harris, added Horford, has, of course, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I see them as a clear 1-2. I still think Boston has plenty of talent with Kemba Walker coming in, who might actually be a better fit than Kyrie Irving as being a top three team. I think Toronto, even without Kawhi, at least for now, has the talent. I like what Indiana has done in their offseason, even losing Bogdanovich the way they brought in Brogdon. And you know what? The Nets with Kyrie, even with Durant waiting for a year, are pretty good. So you throw all those guys in the wash. I think the Heat's ultimate upside would be maybe 5 or 6 right now with Westbrook and maybe 6 or 7 without. So, yes, it'll be back in the playoffs. It'll be more competitive. It'll be different, which is what the fans wanted. It'll be more fun. But this is not the ultimate Heat make a move into a championship contender.
Very interesting. Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. All right, I want to switch gears a little bit. Last Friday night, I think a lot of NBA fans were tuning in to the Summer League matchup between Zion and RJ Barrett, and the earthquake happens out there in Las Vegas. And I heard Mark Jones on ESPN mention your name in the aftermath of the earthquake, saying that he got some inside information from you. You were in your hotel and everything. What was the whole experience like?
So I'm on the 36th floor of my hotel, and it starts, and at first I'm like, oh, man, those neighbors, they must be in the next room, must be getting busy because there's some banging on the headboard. And then I realize, nah, maybe not. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, my room on the 36th floor, like, swung out over Harmon Boulevard. It was really a strange sensation, and I was trying to walk through my room, and it's literally like, wait a minute, I didn't have that much to drink tonight. I mean, it was really something. So I knew Mark was doing the game. We're friends. He lives in Weston with me. And I just texted him. I said, Jonesy, next time I'm staying at the first floor at the Hojo's. And all of a sudden, I'm watching the follow-up on that, and he goes, even my friend Ira Windermoon was terrified tonight. And I'm like, okay, now I have to carry the soft label for the rest of the week.
That's what I heard. And then the best part about Ira was that he said it, and then they used that clip, like his recap with Doris Burke, on SportsCenter every hour overnight
over
and into the morning.
Over and over of terrified Ira Winderman. I must have like sending in a tweet. No, actually, I was just drunk. Yeah, so yeah, that's what I got. I'm still on the 36th floor as we talk right now, so I've gotten over it. There were a few aftershocks, but I got to tell you, I have been in a bunch of earthquakes. I've been in San Francisco covering Heat games. I was in L.A. pretty high in a hotel also when one struck. This was by far the strongest one I've been a part of. I mean, it really is crazy. It's like the whole room and the floor you're standing on is like one of those kids' bounce houses. It was that strong, and I guess it shows that these places are built to withstand it.
Yeah, but that is scary. I'm glad.
Nope, I'm good.
I'm glad there are no issues otherwise, Ira. We can laugh about it now. That being said, I thought the earthquake was going to take the headlines on Friday night, and then, of course, Friday into Saturday morning, yeah. Depending on your time zone, we did find out about Paul George being traded. I think Kawhi's destination was going to be intriguing regardless, but the Paul George element to that seemed to truly shock everyone. What was the reaction as you're out there amongst everybody covering the NBA?
It's that nothing is the way it seems as it is in the NBA. Think about this. Paul George is traded from the Pacers to the Thunder, and everyone is like, oh, stupid move by the Thunder. He's going to leave after 1 year. He has 1 year left. They blew it. Then Paul George resigns with the Thunder, and the narrative changes to, see, a player can go somewhere and they could wind up resigning him. You're wrong about trading for a player in an expiring contract. And then a year later, Paul George wants out of there. Guys, this changes so much. It's like what I was saying about players. You think guys are content. Then you have one bad playoff run, you go out in the first round, and all of a sudden the narrative changes again. The NBA, there's no such thing anymore as an enduring narrative. This league really is existing season to season.
You're right. And that's why we're talking about the Heat or any other team. I mean, you really have to live for the moment, right? And capitalize when you have an opportunity.
Yes. And that's what Pat Riley's saying. Let me get Butler. Let me get Westbrook. And if it all goes to crap down the road, well, it might go to crap anyway. And you know what? I had a chance. I was around him. He was talking to some people. I think he's looking at 3, 4, 5 of these situations. Distressed property. He's looking at Bradley Beal and what happens there in Washington. He's waiting for the next team to collapse. Because he figures this, even if I don't have a championship contender, even if I don't have the ultimate level of stars to pair a player with, I have no state income tax, I have Miami in the dead of winter, I have the nightlife and a place you want to live. So he will always have something to sell, and they asked that to Adam Silver last night at his press conference. All the players have gone to New York, California, and Florida. What about the rest of the league? And I think the advantage for Miami will always be that built-in selling point of, whether they're good or bad, they'll always be Miami.
That's for sure. And
a rich man in Miami and being young is a good time.
Yeah, not a bad place. Or
not a bad life to spend some money.
As opposed to Minneapolis in February. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to pass on that one. We're on yachts and boats in December.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Ira, thanks so much as always. Hopefully everything is fine. No more earthquakes or any other catastrophic events. Enjoy the rest of Summer League and travel back to South Florida safely, all right?
And I'm sure the internet tomorrow will have Ira Winderman rips Tyler Hero's drip. So I'm waiting for that. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Ira Winderman, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Of course, read his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Much more to get into. We'll get to that next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM, final segment here on this Wednesday. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder. Big thanks to Ira Winderman for joining us from Las Vegas, as so much emanating from there with the Summer League and all the free agency rumors and rumblings and everything. So good to catch up with him. We got one final segment, as I mentioned, coming up at 6 o'clock, Fight Night. Alex Donald, Frank Zaffrey, they're in the house, and don't want to miss that huge card over the weekend in UFC.
Oh, and that was awesome.
Plenty to talk about, including, you know, Masvidal, who's from Miami, with the 5-second knockout and the whole deal. So anyway, I'll let the experts talk about that.
He's a walking soundbite.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
He is.
Everyone's like, man, is this disrespectful? I'm like, no, that's Miami.
Not only that, but it's also like I've never understood anybody who says that these guys who for a living beat the crap out of each other and are trying to knock each other out, you think that anything they do is disrespectful. It's like the whole purpose of what they're doing is trying to knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're worried about the words they're saying, right?
I mean, and can you be mad for a guy if you talked about my culture and my family?
Mm.
And then I just knocked you out cold and you didn't think I'm just going to not say anything? Man, I was all for that.
Yeah, and they were getting on him for his celebration there and the whole thing. It's like, come on. Like, listen, this isn't Pop Warner football. Okay?
Exactly.
I mean, these guys are grown-ups. They are willingly going into an octagon in this case to see who can come out alive, basically.
And which most of us are not willing to get into the ring to do that.
No.
I know I ain't.
I'll raise my hand as the first in line on that one. So
not a great plan.
Okay, so Ira was just on. One of our followers, 1012 Management, who likes to chime in and listen to the show, which we always appreciate on Twitter. He says, I really respect Ira, but why would Pat make this trade if he thinks it would help us move from the 7th seed to the 6th seed? If we're a 6th seed in the East with two top 15 players, Spo should be fired. Ooh.
Mm.
Now, I will say this. I mean, I was a little surprised with Ira saying that. Oh, by the way, this is... Perhaps it's not a Woj bomb or anything like that, but literally because I just started following Tyler Hero on Twitter.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, he just tweeted out the eyes emoji and the emoji of a hand with a pen in it, basically saying that he has signed his contract. That's my interpretation.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I mean, what else would it be? So there you go, Tyler Hero. 2 minutes ago tweeted out these emojis, which most would indicate or would assume means that he has signed his contract.
Unless he just signed an apartment or a house in Miami, but we're not going to say that.
In Vegas, while he's in Vegas? Yeah, that'd be quite a thing. He's got some people working on his behalf.
He's got somebody doing it for him.
Very true. But anyway, so that could be a storyline for tomorrow's show, as we only have a few minutes left. But, of course, for those who are unaware... The moment he signs his contract, he's not allowed to be traded for 30 days.
Yep.
Now, again, Myers Leonard isn't allowed to be traded for a certain period of time as well, but as Ira pointed out, that Hero, Leonard, anybody in that regard, that would not prevent them from hypothetically trading for Russell Westbrook. They would just have to wait for that time period to pass. But at the same time, you'd imagine if you're the Thunder and you want, if you're going to get Tyler Hero in return in a potential deal, you'd most likely want to get him in-house, integrate it into your system, the culture, the whole deal, and get comfortable as opposed to having to wait like 30 days, like a non-compete, so to speak. You're just hanging around, doing nothing, you know, little...
Winning summer games for the Heat.
Yeah, a little vacation time, you know, just before your actual job starts, you know. So, who knows? But bottom line is, looks like, if we're going to read into this, Tyler Hero may have signed his rookie contract. So, good for him. But is that an indication? What do you think? That he will not be included in a deal? Let the speculation run rampant.
Isn't that what we do?
Yeah, that's what we do.
Isn't that what we do with social media nowadays?
Yeah. So what do we learn today so far? That Russell Westbrook on Instagram liked an illustration of him wearing a Heat jersey,
yep.
And Heat uniform,
mm-hmm.
And that Tyler Hero is using emojis to signify he may or may not have signed his rookie contract.
Yeah, may or may not.
So.
And KD's spying on everybody.
Yes. Oh, that's for sure. By the way, we did not mention this really at all on the show, but did you watch the Major League Baseball All-Star game?
I did not, but I watched the Home Run Derby.
Okay. Home Run Derby was fun.
It was awesome. My guy fell just a little bit short.
You're going for Guerrero?
I picked Vlad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he had 91 total home runs,
that's
set the
crazy
record. But, you know, I figured he'd get tired because you just, what'd he do, three bat-offs pretty much in that one round.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was one of the most entertaining, for me, home run derbies I've ever seen. It's great that the young guns were the ones that were up for the $1 million since they're only making 500 and change. And it brought some energy and some excitement back to like the purity of playing the sport. Like you see how excited those kids got for actually succeeding in it and winning.
You're right. And a lot of young names and faces that people can be excited about for the future of the game.
And I'd love seeing all the Twitter people, why is Vlad in there? He's only hit eight home runs. And I'm like, have you seen him in batting practice? He hits dingers, man, like moonshots. I couldn't wait to see the kid go.
Yeah, his major league stats were a bit deceiving based on that. But you look at what he did in the minor leagues.
Oh, my
prior
goodness.
To being called up. Yeah, that guy.
Unbelievable.
What a bright future for the game, for him, to be sure. I had it on in the background. Like, I was like, oh, I'll have it on and doing stuff. And then I was like you. Like, I became captivated by it. I was like, I got to watch this thing. So that was good for baseball. The All-Star game is okay. But anyway, we're in Westbrook watch mode. That's what we're all about
here. That's it, baby. Russ watch.
Brian, it's been fun, man.
Yeah, man. We'll do it all over together.
Do it
tomorrow.
All again tomorrow from 2 to 6. We appreciate everybody who's tuned in. Chili Willie is with us for most of the show. Danny G, the Sports Bomber, thank you for taking over the end of the program. Thanks to both of you guys for your help today. Of course, thanks to Ira Winderman for joining us. To everybody who texted, we appreciate it. Make sure you stay tuned. Fight Night coming up next. Alex Dono, Frank Zaffery here on QAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.